Lord God. We honor you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God. The mysteries, Lord. Reveal, Lord God. Reveal the mysteries, Lord. Elele bohoya. Alalala mahashanda rabakaya yehia. Amamande de de de. Amamamande de 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 de. Alalala bokula la kandara makaya yehia. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Oh rabasaha. Abababababande de de. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Alalala mahashanda rabakaya. We acknowledge you. Alalala makula la kandara makia de me senge de bede. We need you. Alalala mahashanda rabakaha. Help us. Help us to pray. We bless you, Lord God. Rapasandarabakaha. Alalala mahaya ye here, Lord God. Alalala mahalala handaramaki here, may say. Alalala mahashia. Alalala mahalala kandaramaya salalakaya ye here, Lord God. Anononde de. Glory, hallelujah. Shatanda rabakahaya. Mama, 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 de, 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 de. Oh, rapasahaya. Oh, rapasahaya. Alalala makashanda rabakaha. Ama, mama, mama, de, 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 de. Ama, mama, mama, de, 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 de. Ama, mama, mama, de, 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 Lord God. Lord God. Shataya. Alalala mahaya here, Lord God. Alalala mahaya here, Lord God. Glory to God. Alalala makoshanda rabakahaya. Ama mama mahanda de bede heya. Elele bokoshanda rabakaha. Ama mama mahanda de. Thank you, Lord. Alalala makashahaya. Alalala mohola lakanda rabaki heya. Emememende de. Yes, Lord. Alalala bahashanda rabakaha. Ama mahanda de. Ama mama mahanda de. Ama mama mahanda de. Ama mama mahanda de. Alalonda rabakashanda rabakaha. Alalala mahanda rabaki heya. Ama mama mahanda de. With you, Lord God. Nothing shall be impossible, Lord. Oh, glory to God. We thank you for that. Alalala mahashia ramasaya. Alalala mahalala handa rabakahaya. Anododonde rebedehe. Alalala mahashanda rabakahaya. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the supernatural, Lord. Alalala kandara mayasanda rabakaha. Alalanda rabakashanda rabakahaya. Amamama manda de. Oh, Lord God. Oh, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Alalala mahashanda rabakahaya. Amamama manda de bede de. Amamama manda de bede de. Alalala mahashanda rabakaha. Alalala mahalala kandara makashanda rabakahaya. Alalanda rabaki here. Edede. Alalanda rabakashanda rabakaha. Mamamama makahaya. Mamamama makashia. Alalala makanda rabakahaya. Lord God, we give you all the honor, Lord. We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the praise, all the blessing, all the thanksgiving, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen. On last week, we completed the lesson on the prayer of praise and worship. Y'all remember that? Okay. Anybody had any questions? at all. Anybody had any questions? Prayer, praise, and worship. Okay. All right, tonight we're going to start with the prayer of petition and supplication. Now, other authors have separated that. They've called it the prayer of petition, and then they've gone on and say the prayer of supplication. Our author didn't have a whole lot to say about it, three paragraphs. And it's like, okay, I mean, there's got to be, I thought that was more. But anyway, I started looking, you know, through my notes, and I have so many books. I have so many outlines from Apostle. And it's like, oh, no, this is just too much. But I did run across my little book. I think I've shared this with you before. Now, the book is probably out of print. That's just how old it is. This is not my original book. I loaned my original book to somebody else. It was like a little bit wider and a little bit longer. And they never gave it back. So I had to find another copy of my book. And the name of it is Releasing the Ability of God Through Prayer. And the author is Charles Capps, C-A-P-P-S. It's just a good little book. You know, I share this with you because this is the book that got me started on my quest for a fuller understanding and a fuller knowledge of the Word of God. This book was actually shared with one of my friends by Sister Chantel's father. They were neighbors, and he gave it to my friend, and the friend, that's the way we did back then. You know, we were good Baptists. You know, we were really good Baptists, and we would just pass the books around. And when I got a hold of this book, I mean, this man was saying some things about prayer that I just could not receive it. And he starts the book off, you know, he said, you know, if you can't receive it right now, put it on the shelf, but remember where you put it, because you're going to go back. And sure enough, you know, I went back. I just wanted to share just a few of those things with you from this book. He said, this is Brother Capps, Releasing the Ability of God Through Prayer. God is in you to the degree that his word is in you. See, how much word you have in you, that's how much God you're going to have in you. God and his word are one. Amen? Amen. And if you know, and we're talking about praying and praying effectively. We want our prayers, we want to begin to get results to our prayers. You know, we've been praying for a long time. Amen. And we're not satisfied with the results. We've gotten some. Thank God for the results that we have gotten. Amen. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his mercy. We've gotten some things, but there's more. Amen. There is more. And then he makes another statement. I'm just going to read you some of his statements. He says, a prayer without faith is like a key without a hand to turn it. A prayer without faith, you know, telling us that when you pray, you have to pray in faith. You have to pray believing. You're not just speaking vain words, you know. You are speaking to the Most High God, God the Father. He loves you. He cares for you. The Almighty God, the Omnipotent God. Amen. Omniscient. Amen. So you got to know that, you know, when I pray to God in line with his words, because that's important too. You got to pray in line with the word. And he talks some about that in here, how important it is that you got to have the word of God in order to pray effectively. You got to know what the words say. You got to know what's yours. You got to know what he promised. And if you don't know that, you're not going to be able to pray effectively. Amen. Amen. Another one I underlined, he said, prayer is designed to work for you, not against you. The word of God was designed to work for you. But when you cross up the rules, it is like trying to play baseball with football rules. And what we're talking about right now are the kinds of prayer. And that's what he's talking about. He's referring to the different kinds of prayer. And he's saying different prayers have different rules. Amen. Amen. He says there are different kinds of prayer, and there are different rules for each kind. There is a prayer. Now, here's the way he numbers them is different, okay? Amen. Our author gave us 12. It's actually 11 because the first and the last are the same. Prayer, praise, and worship. He calls it the prayer of dedication, which our author talks about. I think he called it maybe consecration and dedication. The prayer of thanksgiving and praise. The prayer of intercession and the prayer of petition. And that's where we are tonight. He said, don't get the rules for prayer of dedication and worship mixed up with the rules for the prayer of petition. We have authority to petition God by prayer and move the forces of heaven in our behalf. We have the authority, God has given it to us, to petition God by prayer and move the forces of heaven in our behalf. I think that's enough. I just wanted to share some of these things with you. After I found this, look, it's so old. Look, y'all, the pages are turning yellow. Amen. Okay, so let's go on to the prayer of petition and supplication. Like I said, I've seen it separated. Some authors separate them. They say the prayer of petition and the prayer of supplication. I can remember I was in a class on prayer, and our speaker, you know, she said, prayer is driving up to the warehouse of God and loading up and coming home with the goods. And, you know, and I just laughed. That was just so good. And but then I got this revelation. You know, you're always going to get a revelation, huh? Everybody got going to get a revelation. And I said, but how big was the truck, you know? You know, I said, yeah, if you go with them, back then the young men had those little bit of trucks. I said, if you go with a little bit of truck, you're not going to come home with too much good. I said, I want me a semi. I want me one of them big ones, and I want to back it up to the warehouse of God, and I want to load it up with the goods and bring it home. But that's the way prayer is. God designed it that way. Now, somewhere along the line, something has happened, and we have we've lost some of our effectiveness in prayer. We have not, held on to the original intent of our petitioning God. And so as a result, we've let things come in and interfered with our ability to release the power of God through our prayer. But we're getting it back. Amen. We're getting it back. We're getting it back now. We're learning more and more how to pray and how to pray effectively. So tonight we're on the prayer of petition and supplication. He didn't give us a definition of supplication. We know what petition is. That's just asking for, right? But I found two. Both of these came off the internet. It says, supplication, also known as petitioning, is a form of prayer wherein one party humbly or earnestly asks another party to provide something, either for the party who is doing the supplicating, for example, please spare my life, or on behalf of someone else, please spare my child's life. He's saying that's what supplication, that was one definition. The other one I found, it says the word supplication is directly related to the simple verb for to bind. Y'all remember that? To bind, found in Matthew 18:18. Whatsoever thou shalt, remember, bind on earth. Wherever you encounter the term supplication, it is presenting to us that kind of prayer where we come to the Lord and move into the dimension of controlling by the power of God that which is uncontrollable by human power. Isn't that something? Yeah. The kind of prayer where we come to the Lord and move into the dimension of controlling, not by my own power, but by the power of God, that which is uncontrollable by human power. Our author says that this kind of prayer, we're talking about the prayer of petition or supplication. This is the kind of prayer you use when you ask God for your personal needs or desires. Anything that has to do with you and not others. I have in parentheses, your house, your car, your spiritual gift, your need of a friend. I had husband and wife here, but then he put husband and wife further down. I'll put it where he put it. The prayer of petition should always go together with thanksgiving. When you're asking God for something, you should always thank him for it. When you're praying in faith, you ask him and then you thank him. Amen? Amen. You must keep in mind that this prayer of petition, according to our author, a supplication in other Bible verses is called the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is spoken specifically to ask for personal needs or wants. These could include a new job, health, a promotion at work, a salary, increase, a spouse, children, and many others. So now, remember on last week we were, and week before when we were talking about the prayer of praise and worship, and we said that the focus was not on us, but it was on God. When we get to the prayer of intercession, which is going to be next, the prayer of intercession is not for us. It's going to be praying on behalf of another. But when you come to petitions and supplications, our author is saying, this is when you're praying for yourself. But always keep in mind, you still must pray in faith, believing. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. He gives us these verses, and he reminds us that we must pray in line with the word of God. The most ideal way is, you know, I always say, find the place where it's written. Find the place where it's written. Amen. And then when you find the place, you might have to look in one or two, but one is going to jump out at you. And that's the one that you just hold on to. And sometimes, you know, God will give you a verse through the Holy Spirit that look like it don't have nothing to do with what you're asking for. Amen. It looked like, well, no, this, you know, I don't know, this verse that we're going to read, Philippians 4 and 6, doesn't look like it had anything at all to do with healing. But, you know, I was believing God for healing. And this is the scripture that was given to me. And, you know, I held on to it. I'm going to be honest with you. I just held on to it, And then as I went, he gave me a little bit more and a little bit more. But this is where I started. In Philippians 4 and 6, it says, be careful for nothing. And this is in the King James. In your book, it's going to read a little different. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, there is our word, and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen? Don't worry about it. Don't be anxious about it. And when you go before God, when you whatever you're dealing with, you want to have this peace. Anybody got an amplifier? Nobody's got an amplifier in here? Oh, okay. What does it say in the amplifier? Uh-huh. Listen. Philippians 4 and 6.
Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God.
Continue to make your wants known unto God. You see that? And this is what you have to do, but you want to have that peace. I'm not going to say you got it. You want to have it. You want to have it because then that's when your faith can really, really kick in, when you've got peace about something. When you can look at the storm and still have peace. When you can look at the situation and the circumstances and you still have peace. It's like, I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm giving this thing to God, and I am just not going to worry about it. Amen? Amen? That's when you can be effective. And then the author gives us Mark 11. 24. And if you've been around here any length of time, you've heard Mark 11, 23 and 24. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But 24 is the prayer. Mark 11, 24. And it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, there we go, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen? Amen. So that's where our faith is coming in. It's saying, you know, we must believe when we pray. Amen. And that's all about, you know, what our author says about the prayer of petition. Amen. And you would think he would have said a whole lot more. I mean, Brother Capps, this is a whole book on the prayer of petition, you know. But our author, he just wanted us to know that whenever we pray for ourselves, maybe he's trying to tell us that that shouldn't be the focus. You know, yeah. Remember how many weeks we stayed on praise and worship? Yeah. At least 2.5 for sure. You know, and then here this petition. I don't even think that was 15 minutes. And it's like, and that's all he said. You're just praying for yourself. You're praying for your own needs. So, amen, amen. Amen. That's not supposed to be our focus. And again, remember he started all of this by telling us. If you want to learn how to pray for an hour, you know, this is the way that you could pray for an hour. And he's given us the different kinds of prayer that you can pray, you know, that would extend it to an hour. Because normally, if you're just praying in your understanding, I mean, you might be able to do 20 minutes. You might, you know, and then you start saying the same thing over and over again. But he's showing us that if you want to pray for an hour, if you're serious about praying for an hour, then these are the different kinds of prayer that you can pray. And he's promising us that we would end up praying for an hour. So he's showing us focus should not be all that much on us. Amen? Amen. Focus should be on God, praising and worshiping him. And now we go into the prayer of intercession. Yes. Amen? Amen? So this is where we are praying for others. He says the prayer of intercession. Is a petition to ask God for something on someone else's behalf. This kind of prayer is where you stand in the gap for others. You raise a cover of protection over another person. You enclose them with your prayers. Now, he didn't give us yet. I think it's further down. Let's turn to Ezekiel. And we've looked at this before. Ezekiel 22. Yes, Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. In Ezekiel 22 and 30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it." But look at the commentary. "But I found none." You see that? God needs somebody to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for other people. You know, the focus, it should not always be just on us. You know, meet my needs, bless me, Lord, me and my four. I mean, before I started learning how to pray, that's the way I prayed, you know, our Father, bless mama, bless daddy, bless sister, you know, that's the way I prayed. But now, as we're coming into maturity, I like that word, as we're coming into maturity, we're learning it's not all about us. You know, we are here as representatives of heaven. And God wants us to be able to stand in the gap for others. And remember, it's not all about you. Amen. Sometimes he'll speak a word, and the word is not even for you. Sometimes you'll be talking to somebody, and you'll say something, and you won't even know what you said. But they will know. They will be able to receive it because it was for them. It is so important that we begin to understand intercession. God is going to begin to give you names in your prayer time, your devotion time. And sometimes we don't even know what's going on with these people. We have no idea. And that's why it's so important to pray in the Spirit. He talks a lot about praying in the Holy Ghost and the prayer of intercession. Now, I believe you can pray in the Holy Ghost with any prayer. I believe that. That's not what your author say now. Your author, he focuses primarily on intercession and praying in the Spirit. And we used to call it intercessory prayer, and it is, amen? But, you know, doing that prayer, we praying for ourselves too, amen? But we're praying in the Spirit, amen? So we also, and we are worshiping in the Spirit. We're praising and we're worshiping in the Spirit. There are times when that happens. But the focus here is on praying for others. It says, what are the most important reasons why the Word of God commands, listen at that word, commands that we intercede? First of all, turn over to, now this is going to be good, I'm glad. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want y'all to make note of this in your personal time. If you're not praying for your pastor already, intercessors online, students online, if you're not already praying for your pastors and your leaders in your churches, as well as your officials in the government, then this is a good scripture that you can use. 1 Timothy, I'm all the way in Hebrews. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Our author refers to verses 1 through 3. I like 1 through 4. Okay, let's read together. I exalt, therefore, that first of all, there are words, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And we know when he's talking about kings, he's talking about presidents. Amen. Yes. So this is a very, very good scripture, you know, to pray for your president and your vice president and all of your officials, governor, amen, Louisiana governor, pray for the Louisiana governor, representatives. You can pray for school officials. You can pray for your sheriff. Anybody in authority. You know, God says, first of all, you know, I exalt that first of all, supplication and prayers be made for all men and for all those who are in authority. And we are learning through the apostolic about church government. Amen. So they're our leaders in the churches. We can pray for them, and we can pray for them using this scripture, but most of all for our government, worldly, secular officials. Amen? The prayer of intercession is not a selfish prayer because it does not focus on self. It is targeted towards others who are in need of God's favor. The prayer of intercession is also known as the prayer in the Spirit or praying in other tongues. That's what he said. Amen? But we know, you know, it's more than that. In 1 Corinthians 14 through 15, and he had it from the Amplified. He says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. Amen. So he's talking about praying in other tongues and then praying, what is that? What do we want to call it? I don't want to say natural language. Natural language. There you go. Natural language. Thank you. Amen. So, you know, he's talking about praying with the understanding, the things that I can understand. And we know, and we just read when we prayed before you second year students got here. We prayed in the spirit. Amen. So when we read 1 Corinthians 14 and 2, and that's what we're saying, no man understands because we're praying or we're speaking mysteries. What are the benefits of praying in other tongues? Now, you know, we have gone over the benefits of praying in the spirit. You were with Apostle, right? All right. He gives us a few, but I found my notes, and I want you to find your notes. Because he has just gone on and on and on. Apostle has been teaching on the benefits of praying in the spirit. I don't know how many weeks on a Wednesday evening in our training in the word. And I have some of them written down here that we'll go over after we read what our author said. He, bless his heart, he only had five. He only had five. He said, number one, you edify yourself, and you know that's found in Jude 20. And ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Remember? Y'all remember? Y'all remember? Say yeah. Say yeah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay. I'm giving y'all some hints. And then he says the benefits of praying in other tongues, and we know this. You pray God's perfect will. Amen. Because you're praying by the Holy Spirit, who knows the perfect will of God. You pray directly to God and not to men. Before second year students got in here, we read that, 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. When you pray in the Spirit or in unknown tongues, you exalt and glorify God. That's going to be found in Acts 10, 44 through 46. When you pray in tongues, you receive spiritual rest. Found in Isaiah 28 and 11. And it says, talks about not only rest, it talks about refreshing. Amen. Y'all want to look at, let's look at that one. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. And then I'm going to read the benefits Apostle gave us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. And it reads, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But that's not us, right? No, that's not us. That's not us. Amen. So we see the words rest and refreshing that comes from praying in the spirit. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, like I said, those were his benefits. And I think he might say a little bit. Yeah, he says a little bit more about praying in the spirit. But we'll get to that. I got 5 minutes. Principles and benefits of speaking in tongues according to our apostle. Amen. He said praying in tongues opens the heavens and charges the atmosphere. Does this sound familiar? Praying in tongues opens the heavens and create atmosphere for the release of the Shekinah glory. That's kind of like what we almost stepped into last week there. You know, we were worshiping God. We were worshiping God. Praying in tongues magnify God. The bigger God gets, the smaller the devil will be. Praying in tongues enlarges your perception of God's power in your life. When you pray in tongues, it activates angels. The supernatural is not an event, but a lifestyle. Praying in tongues is the entrance into the supernatural. It is the gateway into the spirit realm. Praying in tongues. See how important this is? Praying in tongues is the key that unlocks the spirit world. When you pray in tongues, you're automatically in the spirit. You're entering God's miracle zone. And y'all should have this in your notes somewhere. Okay. Praying in tongues is a direct line to God. Praying in tongues, now we're talking about principles and benefits, amen? Praying in tongues is speaking divine mysteries, divine coded secrets. When you pray in tongues, you are praying the secret will or secret plan of God. Secrets or plans will be made known to you. Praying in tongues will impart blessings and impact your life. You're prophesying your God-ordained future. You're making a path of blessing and power for you to walk in and enjoy when you pray in the Spirit. And then praying in tongues is praying things concealed to be revealed. Concealed from you for you. Remember that? From you, so you won't mess it up. Amen? That's what I remember Apostle saying, you know, so you won't mess it up. I don't know if you'll recall on last week when I said, you know, if you would just be still, that God would talk to you. Because I think when we began to praise and worship last week, the way we praised and worshiped God, we have to learn that there has to be, and you're going to see that our author calls it a prayer of waiting. But it's just a moment of just you being still. Just being still before God and then allowing him to speak to you. Do that in your prayer time. You know, a lot of times we pray, and then we don't give God a chance to say nothing. I mean, you know, we don't know how to do that. We don't know how to be still. We just think we ought to be doing something. We ought to be saying something, just being still. But I heard another minister say one time, he says, I'm not going to say nothing. You speak to me. You speak to me. And, you know, he had to wait a while, but he said when God started to speak to him, he said, okay, that's enough. I mean, because he just began to reveal. He'll say things to you. He'll say things to you that's going to make you laugh. He'll say things to you that's going to make you cry. But he will speak to you. He will speak to you. So look for that quiet time, that being silent before God during your prayer time. Amen. Amen. God bless. See y'all next week.